Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Zayin, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis as we come to the last daf of the first parak in Masechta Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah discussed different types of batei dinin, and at the very end, the Mishnah discusses the Sanhedrin Agadol. And the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, how many members the Sanhedrin Agadol was comprised of. The Chachamim say 71. That's what everybody knows. Rabbi Yehuda says it wasn't 71, but rather it was 70. Says the Chachamim in the Mishnah, how do I know that the Beis Din HaGadol was Shal Shivim Ve'echad Shenema? Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Baal Lo'ischa that Hashem tells Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. Go gather 70 Zikenim. U'Moshe Al-Gabeim. So Moshe gathers 70. Moshe himself was a member of the Sanhedrin, 70 plus 1, which was Moshe, 71. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rabbanon, the Amri of Moshe al Gabeyim. How did the Rabbanon know that Moshe was al Gabeyim? Meaning maybe Rabbi Yehuda is right. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is right in that it was only the 70 Skenim that Moshe gathered that were the members of the Sanhedrin. But Moshe himself perhaps wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin. Amakra, say the Chachamim, because the Pasuk says that what are the Sanhedrin going to do? It says, V'siatzfu sham imach. They are going to stand it with you. And the Rabbanon Darshan, imach vat vadaya, with you, in the sense that they're going to be together with you. They're going to sit with you. It the Lishkas Agazis, they're going to be members of the Sanhedrin with you. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to gather 70. The 70 are going to be imach, not 71 members of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda darshan imach? Bishum Shechina. Imach doesn't mean that they're going to be together with you in the Sanhedrin sense, but they're going to be together with you wherever you're going to be able to go. They're going to be able to go. Rashi says, just like Moshe Rabbeinu had to stand outside of the Oil Moed, so too the 70 Skenim would have to stand outside of the Oil Moed. Rashi says another pshat that it could be these 70 Skenim, we're going to see the parish in a moment, but these 70 Skenim that weren't just members of the Sanhedrin, they were also Nevi'im, they got their Nevuah through Moshe. So Moshe was the conduit through which the 70 Skenim were able to get their Nevuah. Thus, they had to be Imach together with Moshe, because if they weren't going to be with Moshe, there was no way for them to get their Nevuah. But Imach doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be members of the Sanhedrin together with Moshe. So the Shivim Ish Miziknei Yisrael, they were members of the Sanhedrin. Moshe was not Al-Gabeim according to Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin was made up of 70 members, not 71. Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the Rabbanan maybe agree. It could be, you're right. The Siatz Vusham Imach doesn't necessarily mean imach that they'll be members of the Sanhedrin together with you, but rather there's another pasuk. Amakra v'nasu itcha b'maseh ha'am itcha va'at pa'adayo, that the 70 members of the Sanhedrin were going to assist Moshe in carrying the load that was the nation. And it's from the word itcha, together with you, you will be together with them. Whatever they're going to do, you're also going to do. So if they are members of the Sanhedrin, Moshe, you'll also be a member of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda, itcha b'dayim alocha. Itcha there means something else. Not with you, that Moshe and the 70 members will be together in all functions, thus proving the Rabbanan's point that Moshe was a member of the Sanhedrin. But itcha is coming to teach me b'doim alocha, that just like Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rashi, was a miyuchis, and just like Moshe Rabbeinu was pure from all physical blemishes, he was minuka mimum, so too the 70 zakenim had to be like Moshe. So itcha again doesn't mean with you, but itcha means like you, says the Gemara of Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon can't darshan the first imcha, v'siatzvu sham imcha. They now can't darshan v'nasu itcha b'masa am. Rabbi Yehuda has a good response to both. So says the Gemara, why didn't the Rabbanon, like Rabbi Yehuda, say v'nasu itcha is just coming to teach me that the 70 skenim had to be of the same caliber as Moshe? Mechitesi, the pasuk is coming to say that they would be partners, they would be together members of the Sanhedrin, because the Rabbanon say that this idea that the members of the Sanhedrin had to be miyuchasim, and they had to be Naki Mimum, is learned out from another pasuk. Now that's a pasuk of Parashas Yisra. That's not talking about the Sanhedrin Agadol. That's talking about some of the smaller batei dinim, the Sanhedrin Ketana. But the Yalfi Sanhedrin Gedolim, Sanhedrin Ketana. That if you see from the Sanhedrin Ketana, V'hakam Me'alecha V'nasu Itcha, what does Itcha mean? B'dayim Elecha. So members of a Bezel Shachav Gimel had to be Miyuchasim and Menukim Mimum. And certainly members of the Sanhedrin Agadol would have had to have been Miyuchasim and Menukim Mimum as well. Either way, we have a Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, how many members the Sanhedrin HaGadol was made up of. According to the Chachamim, it was 71. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was 70. And the truth is, it all comes from a parasha in Parashas Baloischa, where Hashem tells Moshe, Esfuli Shivimish, Mizikne Yisrael, go gather 70 Zakenim. These Zakenim represented what the Sanhedrin Haggadah would mean to Klal Yisrael for generations, 70 Manigim. And the question is it 70 plus Moshe, in which case it'd be 71? Or maybe no, it's just 70. Moshe is not included. The Gemara said, my time of the Rabbanon. At first glance, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be right. It's not mashmam furish anywhere in the psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu was included to make up number 71, but it's based on a drasha, as we just learned, that the Rabbanon say that fa'at bahadayu Moshe Rabbeinu was al gabeyem, thus it would be 70 plus 1. Now the truth is that this next Gemara is going to expound on this parsha, some Divrei Agada. So we're going to have another Omer of Agada to hear Masechet Sanhedrin. But some Divrei Agada regarding the parsha, the broader context of the pasuk, from where we learned that the Bezdin was made up of either 70, 71. So I think it's kedai to go through a perek in the Torah. It's perek Yud Aleph, Parshas Bahaloischa, just to get a background for this next Gemara that we're about to learn. So perek Yud Aleph, again, Parshas Bahaloischa begins, Vayihi ha'am kimisoininim, raz ba'oznei Hashem. And unfortunately, this is one of the themes of the 40 years of the Yidden in the Midbar. The Yidden were complaining about this, complaining about that. The pasuk doesn't even say what they were complaining about. They were misoininim. They were finding reasons to complain. And Hashem wasn't happy. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem heard the complaints of the Yidden. Vayichar apoy. He got angry. And Hashem caused a fire to emerge, and the nation, they call out to Moshe. Moshe did what he always did. He turns to Hashem and he davened to try to bail his people out. And the fire stopped raging, it extinguished. And they called, Moshe Rabbeinu did that place, Tavera, fire, because there was a fire that had consumed the Ktzeh HaMachana. And then the pasuk continues. But even after this story, where the Yidden saw that they would be punished for complaining, they continued to complain. And there was the Asafsof. Rashi says this was the Erev Rav. And they had a taiva. What was the taiva that they had? They turned to Moshe and they, since we left Mitzrayim and we've been in the Midbar, all we've been eating is man. Man was nice, but all we have is man. I want a shtick flesh. And they continue. Remember the fish that we used to eat when we were in Mitzrayim, when they were slaves in concentration camps in Mitzrayim. But we remember the fish that we used to eat when we were in Mitzrayim. Chino didn't cost anything. The fruits, the vegetables. All we see is man, says the Torah. Parenthetically, all Klal Yisrael sees is man. Let me tell you a little bit about man. And this is the other parashas Aman. This is not the one you say on Tuesday. Right, this is the other parashas Aman. Va'amon kizra gadhu ve'ina kein abdoilach. And three, four psukim over here in the Torah that describe the man. But either way, the Yidden are complaining. All we have is man. We want food. And every single member of Klal Yisrael now starts coming to Moshe and they want a shtick flesh. Va'yemer Moshe al Hashem. Moshe turns to Hashem. And Moshe says, I can't do this anymore. Lo mar yosel avdecho. Why are you being so bad to me? I thought at this point, Moshe tells Hashem, I'd be a little nice chem by you. To give me the entire load of the nation. Did I give birth to this nation? Are they my nation? I'm just the leader. I took the job. But this is your nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you forcing me to have to deal with this? Complaint after complaint. And he said, not just that, I can't satisfy them because me I only bustle lost his chalam hazeh. Where am I going to come up with the meat to be able to give the nation? Ki yifko lai lemer tnali bustle v'neichela lai uchal anoichi levadi lost his chalam hazeh. This is the punchline. I can't carry them by myself. Ki chaveg mi many. This load, Klal Yisrael, is just too heavy. Vim kocha at oisali. And if there's no way to lighten this burden, Hargeni Naharag, I ask you, Hashem, kill me. If I have a little bit of chen in your eyes, This is my request. I just don't want to deal with this anymore. It's a response to this. It's a response to Moshe Rabbeinu telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Hariyoisa Lehavdecha. Because of this bakasha that the Yidden made to Moshe, that they want slav and they're not interested in eating the man anymore. That Hashem tells Moshe, go gather 70 skenim. You want help? I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you a Sanhedrin. I'm going to give you 70 skenim that are going to assist you in being able to deal with Klal Yisrael. And he says, bring them to the Yomoyed. I'm going to talk to you over there. These are the psukim that the Gemara just darshened. You will not have to carry this load all by yourself. And as it relates to the request that the nation made, that they want meat, tell them, get ready tomorrow. Because you're going to get exactly what you wanted. You're going to get meat. Because you cried and you said, who's going to give me meat? Go tell them that Hashem tomorrow is going to give you meat. But not only am I going to give them one day's worth of meat, and not 2 days, but a month's worth of meat, until it's literally going to be coming out of their nose. That's where this comes from. They're going to be disgusted because there's going to be so much meat. Because they were moyes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'atifku l'fan of lemer, lo mozeh yotzano mimitzrayim. I mean, they were complaining for leaving Mitzrayim. Why? Because they didn't have meat. So Moshe turns to Hashem. He says, there's 600,000 Yidden that I'm with. And you're telling me that you're going to give me meat for a month to feed 600,000 people? This is Moshe talking to Hashem. If you take all the fish of the seas of the world, there's not going to be enough. So Hashem tells Moshe, are you questioning my ability to serve meals to 600,000 Yidden? You're going to see now whether this is something that I can do or not. Moshe goes now, he's going to execute on what Hashem told him. Two things. Number one, 70 people to assist him. And number two, he has to tell the Yidden that there's going to be slav. So he goes and he gathers 70 skeinim and he puts them around the oil. And then the Onan came down and it starts talking to them. And these 70 skeinim, they begin saying nevuah. And there were two people that remained in the machna. There are two of the 70. And they too were saying Nevu b'machna. Rashi says this was Gershon the son of Moshe. He hears the Nevu of Eldad u'Medad, and this is all important for today's daf. He runs and he tells Moshe, and he says Eldad u'Medad misnabim b'machna. You know Eldad u'Medad the saying Nevu. Vayan Yeshua benun Mesharis Moshe b'bchur v'yemer. Yeshua benun hears that Eldad u'Medad are saying Nevu, and he says Adoni Moshe kom. He says Rebbe Moshe, kill them. Vayomer loy Moshe amakana atali. He says, you don't have to be a kanoi on my behalf. Umiyitin kol am Hashem neviin kiten Hashem esruchei alein. I disagree with you. I don't want to kill them. Either way, so Moshe gathers the 70 skeinim, and now they together. Moshe now has a whole staff. They go together and they gather the yidden, and he tell the yidden, you requested slav. This is going to be slav, and the pasuk and the perek really concludes with the slav falling, and they have all this meat and flesh, but habasar aydenu ben shinayim, while the meat was still between the teeth of the yidden, terem yikores va'af Hashem chorav ba'am, Hashem got angry. I mean, this was all a setup. Hashem was going to give them what they wanted, but he was going to punish them as well. Va'yach Hashem ba'am mako rabo mo'od. And the yidden had a horrible punishment. Va'yikra eshem amokim mahu kivras ha'taiva, ki sham kovru esha'am ha'misavim. They buried the balei taiva. This is a fascinating perek in the Torah, tucked away. It's a parshas Bavoischo, Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph. And on that note, we'll see some of the Torah Shabbal Peh on these Pesukim. Tanu Rabbanon. The pasuk says that after Moshe Rabbeinu gathered 70 skenim, there were two in particular that remained in the machane. Vayisharu shnei anoshe b'machane. Yeshayimim, some say, bekalpi nishtayru. That what does it mean that they remain? So pashut, it means they physically were in the machna. But it means more than that. They remained in the kalpi, in the basket. What basket? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe and he told him, I want you to gather 70 skenim from this skenim Yisrael. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu said, how am I going to come up with 70? Meaning, this 12 shvatim, so I have to take 70 and divide it by 12. I'm not going to get an even number. Ever shisha mikol shevet v'shevet? Should I take 6 from each shevet? 6 times 12 is 72. Nimtzu shnayim yisayim. I'm going to have 2 more than I was told to take. Ever chamisha chamisha mikol shevet? Should I take 5 from each shevet? Nimtzu asar chaseirim. Because 12 times 5 is 60. I'm going to be off by 10. Ever shisha mishevet zeh v'chamisha mishevet zeh? Should I take 6 from one shevet and 5 from another shevet? I'm going to be causing kinna. I certainly don't want to do that. Ma'aso. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Bir shisha shisha. He took 6 from each shevet. Vehevi shnayim. Shivim v'shnayim piskin. He took 72 lots. Al shivim, on 70 of them, kosav zokin. He wrote the word zokin. Ushnayim, 2 of them, he near cholik, he left blank. Bilam, the nasa makalpi, he puts it into this basket. Omar lehem, he told each one of the 72 skenim, bo utlu piskechem, go pick a lot. Kol mishol b'yadi zokin. Omar kvar kvichich shamayim. Whoever took the word zokin, he told him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you to be one of the 70 skenim. Amisha ol b'yadi cholok. Whoever's was blank. Omar, he said, hamokin lechofetz b'cha. Hashem doesn't want you. Ani ma'esel lecha. There's nothing I could do from you. So what does this have to do with Vayisharu shnei anoshim b'machna? So Rashi concludes the story. Rashi says that what happened was that there were 2 lots that remained in the basket. And those were the lots of Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad were afraid to take one. Rashi says, they were afraid. They just were afraid to play this game. So they didn't want to pick a lot. Those were the 2 lots that remained inside the kalpi, so that when we say Vayisharu shnei anoshim b'machna, tarti b'mashma, it means 2 things. Number one, it means that they physically remained in the machna saying nevuah when the other nevi'im weren't saying nevuah anymore. Number 2, it means that their lots remained in the kalpi because for whatever reason they didn't want to take their lots. We spoke out in the Psicha, Amasach the Sanhedrin, the Chassam Sofer, he says it in Teres Meishim, Parashas Baloischa, he says it in a tshuva in Shailos Tshuvas Chayshem Mishpat, where he talks about how there are 70 nations, but really there are 72 nations. It's 70 and 72. It's merumas in, although there were 70 skenim, but really there were 72 lots. Originally, Eldon and Medad were mechuvin, Kineged, Bavel, and Edom. So we spoke out some Festa raid, a beautiful Chassam Sofer and Nakdama. But either way, the Gemara says, you find a similar idea when Moshe Rabbeinu resolved a predicament that he was in by making this type of geirah. The pasuk says, "V'lakachto chameshes chameshes shkolim l'gul geirah." So we know that once upon a time, the Bechor was the Kaddish. Because of Makas Bechoris, Hikdashti kol Bechor, so the Bechor was considered to be the Kaddish. And then Hashem said that when there's a Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha is going to go from the Bechor and it's going to be transferred over to Shevet Levi. The Kehanim came from Shevet Levi. It's going to be transferred over to the Levian. So Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Bamidbar is instructed to take all the Bechoris, match them up with all the Levi, and do a Pidyon, like a Pidyon Aben, to transfer the Kedusha from the Bechor onto the Levi. The problem was, there were more Bechoris than there were Levian. There were 273 more Bechoris than Levim. There were 22,000 Levim. There were 22,273 Bechoris. So to match up one for the other would work for 22,000. But the 273 extra Bechoris that didn't have a Levi to be paid in, how are we going to get the Kedusha from the Bechor? So Hashem tells Moshe, take 5 shkolim, similar to the 5 slayim of Pidyon HaBen, when you pay the Bechor till today. For each bechor, take five. The problem was, how am I supposed to execute this? I should go over to 273 bechorim and tell them I want five shkolim from you. They're not going to give it to me because they're going to say, I should give it to you. Maybe the other guy should give it to you. It's 22,000 didn't have to give. Only 273 had to give. So Moshe said, how am I supposed to figure out who are the 273 that have to give? Right? If I'm going to go over to Bukharin, I'm going to tell him, give me the five shkolim. You know what he's going to tell me? Kfar Pedani ben Levi. I think I was already redeemed by a Levi. Ma'asa, so what did he do? Hevi asked for Mishnayim Alof and Piskin. This is a little bit more tedious. He took 22,000 lots. The Kosav Aleim, and he wrote on them, Ben Levi. Then he took 273 additional lots, and Kosav Aleim Chamesh Shkolim. Bililam, the Nasan the Kalpi, this must have been a really big Kalpi. Amalem, he told him, Klu Piskechem, go pick out a lot. Mishal Abiyala Ben Levi, Amalek Farbatach Ben Levi. Whoever picked out a lot that said Ben Levi, he was good to go. Mishal Abiyala Chamesh Shkolim, who's ever said Chamesh Shkolim, Amalem, he told him, Tain Pidyoincha, you have to be paid to yourself, it say, and only then are you going to be off the hook. Says the Gemara. Going back to the original Pasuk, El Doru Medad, Vayishar Ushne Anoshim Bemachne. Zok the Gemara, Rab Shimon says, Bemachne Nishtairu, doesn't mean that they were Shtair Bekalpi. Means literally, they were in the machna. They were remaining in the machna. What does this mean? When Hashem told Moshe, go gather 70 skeinim, Amru, they said, Eldar Umeida did, Ein Anu Royim Laisa Gdula. We're not worthy. We don't believe that we should be Nevi'im. Amru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayl Miyat Damatzmechem, because you were a Nevi'im, you acted humbly. I'm going to give you more gedula than I gave the other skeinim. What was this additional gedula that Eldar Umeidad got? Because the other neviim, they said nevua, but upasku, it terminated at some point. Vehem nisnavu v'loy pasku, but their nevua had more of a hemshach. It continued beyond when the other 70 skeinim said nevua. Meaning, the other 70 skeinim said nevua, or the other 68, said nevua, but their nevua was a very temporary nevua. So they go next to Moshe, outside the oil mayed, v'atzaltim in aruach, Moshe, the conduit, through Moshe, they get some nevuah, but it was very temporary. They got a nevuah. Then, v'zehu. Whereas Eldar Umeida, they were able to continue to say nevuah. That was a special gedula that they got. Why did they get it? Because of their humility. Says the Gemara, what was their nevuah? Amru, they said, Moshe meis, v'yeshua machnas, that's Yisrael la'aretz. They said that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, and it's Yeshua ben Nun who's going to take the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. At that point, nobody knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't supposed to die in the Midbar until after the Chet of the Mei Meriva, which was going to happen later in Parshas Chukas. This is Parshas Baal Oischa. So at that point, no one knows. So Eldar Umeidad are saying Nevuah and the Machna. You know what the Nevuah was? Moshe Meis v'Yeshua Machnas. Says the Gemara, Abachon Enoim Mishum Abalaza, that wasn't the Nevuah. The Nevuah was Aliske Slav Hei Misnavim. Ali Slav, Ali Slav. Right, we just read the Parsha in the Torah. What was the context? The Yidden are asking for meat. What's going to happen? Hashem is going to send a slav. At that point, the Yidden didn't know that. Eldar Umeidad were coming, and they were revealing inside information that they just received. They knew that Hashem was going to tell the Yidden, you're getting your flesh. You're going to get your slav. It wasn't going to have a good ending, but that they're going to get the slav. So that was the Nevuah. They were talking about the end of days. As the pasuk says, "Koyamar Hashem alekim ha'ata hu asher dibarti biyomim kadmoinim biyad avodai nevi'i Yisrael hanibim bayomim mahem shonim lahavi oischa ha'aleim al tikri shonim elashnayim." So this is a pasuk in Yecheskel that's discussing Gog u'Magog and talks about hanibim, which is nevuah, bayomim mahem shonim. But we're not reading shonim; we're reading shnayim. Ve'izu hein shnayim nevi'im shenes navu beperek echad. Where do you find two nevi'im in Tanakh that said nevuah at the same time? The two people that you find that meet that criteria would be Eldar Umeidad. So Eldar Umeidad are mentioned in a pasuk in Yecheskel talking about Gog u'Magog. That's the Vayisharu shnei anoshim emachna. This is the nevuah that they're saying. Says the Gemara. Amar kol nevi'im kulan es navu pasku ve'hein es navu v'loy pasku. Eldar Umeidad got a special gedula because all the Nevi'im said Nevuah, but it was very temporary. Theirs continued a little bit longer. Says the Gemara, Minol and the Pasuk. How do you know that the Nevuah of the other Nevi'im came to an end. Is it because the Pasuk says that they said Nevu'ah v'lo yasafu? And the way we're going to read the Pasuk v'lo yasafu means it didn't continue. Shaloi hoisef. And that said with regards to the other 68 Nevi'im. So you see, the other 68 Nevi'im said Nevu'ah u'pasku, because it says v'lo yasafu, which means pasku, elamiyata. But if that's the way you read the word v'lo yasafu here, there's another place in the Torah where it says the same word v'lo yasaf. It says kol gada v'lo yasaf by Maimon Har Sinai. The voice of Hashem was v'lo yasaf. Hachanami v'lo yasafu. Are you going to tell me that there too it means it didn't continue? The kol of Hashem did continue. Now we spoke about this at length in the daf. Bava Basra, Kuflam and Dalit, Bava Basra, Kuflam and Hey. So we'll post a read bite about this, very much related to this stuff, but we're not going to go into that now. This idea that Maimon Har Sinai wasn't just a one-time event, some historical relic that we cherish as having happened in our history, but rather it's something that's chai v'kayim. It's kol gadol v'loy yosef. Elo, says the Gemara, what does it mean? D'loy pasak. What does it mean that the koil of Hashem and Har Sinai was La Yosef? It means it didn't come to an end. It continued. So Lechur, if anything, if you're going to darshan the word V'lo Yosefu regarding the 68 Nevi'im, it would be mashma that they said Nevu'ah that didn't terminate. It continues. And that can't be the pasuk that tells me that the Nevu'ah of the 68 Nevi'im came to an end. You know what the nuance is? You know what you see that Eldor made that Nevuah was a Nevuah that continued beyond the Nevuah of the other Nevi'im? Because when the Torah describes the Nevuah of the other Nevi'im, it says Vayisnabu. Vayisnabu is in the past tense, suggesting it happened, but it's not happening anymore. When the Torah describes the Nevuah of Eldor Medar, it says Misnabin. Misnabim is in the present tense, suggesting that it's something that's continuing. Adayim misnabim b'holchem. Either way, so we had three pshatim in the Gemara. What was the Nevuah of Eldor Medar? According to one pshat in the Gemara, they were saying Moshe Meis v'Yeshua Machnas Laretz. The second pshat in the Gemara was they were talking about the Slav. That was the topic du jour, and that's what they were talking about. Ali Slav, Ali Slav. According to the third pshat, they were saying Nevuah about the end of days. They were talking about Melchemes Gogu Mog. Says the Gemara, Bishleim the Mandama Moshe Meis. Bishleim, according to the Mandama that says that what was the Nevuah Moshe Meis? I understand the next part of the pasuk. What happened? Vayorat Zanar Gershem Ben Moshe. Here is the Nevuah. He runs and he tells Moshe, Yeshua Ben Nun is sitting there, and what does Yeshua Ben Nun say? Adoni Moshe Klein, kill them. It makes a lot of sense. Because what was the Nevuah? Moshe Meis. So Gershom, Moshe's son, hears these two Nevi'im saying Nevuah that his father's going to die. He's not happy. He runs and tells his father, Yeshua Ben Nun, who is Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, hears Moshe Meis. He's not either happy. So they both are Moshe for the covet of Moshe. Adoni Moshe Klein. Elo l'mandam ha'nechtarti ma'ay Adoni Moshe Klein. But according to the mandam that says that the Nevuah was about the Slav, or the Nevuah was about Goy Gumagoy, why did it have to be killed? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Oyrech Ara, da havali ke Talmud ha'mayor alocha b'fnei Rabbi. It's like being a Talmud that's mayor alocha b'fnei Rabbi. Just like a Talmud can't paskin the mokum Rabbi. These Nevi'im should not have been talking about. It wasn't Eldor Medar's responsibility to tell the Yidden that they're going to get Slav. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that should have done that. And by them doing that, they violated this concept of your Talmud, the Makom Rabbi. You should sit humbly on the side, let your Rebbe deal with it. And that's what they violated. The Gemara asks, Bishleim, the Mandama Hanach Tarti, let's flip it now. Bishleim, according to the Mandama that says that they said Nevu about the Slav or about Gaigu Magoy, Kainu Dixiv, I understand why Moshe Rabbeinu had no issue with what happened. Miyite, right? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu respond to Yeshua? But no, I don't want to kill them. I'm okay with what they're saying. So it makes sense. According to the second two pshatim, Elo l'mandama Moshe Meis, but according to Mandama that says that the Nevuah was Moshe Meis, Meinach Avinichalei, why was he okay with it? Says the Gemara, you're right, he shouldn't have been okay with it, but lo yisaymu akamei, they didn't finish telling him the Nevuah. Meaning, had Moshe Rabbeinu known that the Nevuah was Moshe Meis, the Yeshua Machnas La'aretz, then Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, would have agreed with Yeshua, and he maybe would have gone along with Adoni Moshe Kloim. But they never told him the rest of the story. Says the Gemara, my Kloim. What does Kloim mean? So what does it mean when Yeshua Ben Nun said, Adoni Moshe Kloim? Does it mean kill him? Is that what it means? Says the Gemara, no, it's actually not what it means. That's Pashup Shah. But that's not what it means. Amale, he told him, Hote La'aleim Tzorchei Tzibur, Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to get Eldor Medar to stop saying Nevuah? I have a great idea. Impose upon them Tzorchei Tzibur, and the nevuah is going to go away by the wayside. How so? So we're going to see that in a moment. But before that, three ha'aras. Ha'ara number one. So we have a whole Amid Gemara about Eldar Umeidat. So who exactly were Eldar Umeidat? Eldar Umeidat, again, I'll mention here, Parshas Va'aloischa, they're two of the 70 Skenim that represent the Sanhedrin, Ludoiros. 68 of them said Nevuah for a Shamuetes. Eldar Umeidat's Nevuah is in the present tense. It was something that outlasted the Nevuah of the Shaar Nevi'im. They say a controversial Nevuah. The Torah doesn't say what the Nevuah was. But when Gershom ben Moshe hears the Nevuah, he runs and tells his father. Yeshua ben Nun is sitting there. He says, Adoni Moshe Kloin. He gets really, really upset at them. And Moshe ben Nun says, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's okay. What was the Nevuah? We had three Pshatim in the Gemara. Either the Nevuah was Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnes La'aretz. Alternatively, maybe they were saying Nevuah about the Slav, which was what had preempted the whole Esfali Shiva Mishmi Ziknei Yisrael, or perhaps they were saying Nevuah about Mechemes Gagug Magog. But again, who exactly were Eldar Umeidat? So it's interesting that the Targum Yonasan on that Pasuk that discusses Eldar Umeidat says that Eldar Umeidat were Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam's brother. Knew that? So Moshe had two other brothers. He had a brother Aharon, he had a sister Miriam, but there were two other brothers. One's name was Eldad, and the other's name was Medad. But the Targum Edison says that they were Achim min Ha'em, they weren't Achim min Ha'av. Meaning, they were Yecheved sons, but they weren't Amram's sons. And Targum Edison says that when Amram famously divorced Yecheved, after the Gzerah of Kolaben, Hayulat, Hayyoira, Tashlichu, Yocheved went and got married to somebody else. And she married El Tzofon, Ben Parnach. That's who she married. Afterwards, Amron remarried her, but it was during that interim period that she was married to El Tzofon Ben Parnach that she had two sons. The sons that she had were Eldar Umeidat, which, by the way, Al Pidine Torah, if she got married during the interim period, obviously Amram would not have had a right to remarry her, because that's Machzor Grushasai. But the truth is, she was also Amram's aunt, Deidase, which is one of the Arayas. The Torah says this is before Matan Torah, and this has to do with all the Kodem Matan Torah raid. But the bottom line is, says the Targum Yonasan, that Eldar Umeidat were really Moshe's brothers. They were Achim and Aim, they weren't Achim and Aim. What's interesting is that if you look at the Das Kane and Bali Toysis, right here, also on this part, he brings from Rab Amram Goyen, who heard from Rav Hillel, Shahoyim Eretz Yisrael. So there was a Tano, or maybe it was a Goyen, that lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he writes as follows, Ani Hillel Ro'isi Kivrei Eldar Umeidat, I saw the Kvarim of Eldar Umeidat, who were the brothers of Aharon min Ha'av Eloi min Ha'en. It said on the Matzeva that Eldar Umeidat were Achei Aharon, doesn't mention Moshe, but Ache Aharon and Moshe Luchura as well, min Ha'ov from Amram, not Menaim. So either way, clearly there was a Messiah that Eldar Umeidat were Moshe and Aharon's brothers. Targum Yonasan says min Ha'em. The Matzeva that Rav Hillel in Eretz Yisrael saw that he sent this letter to Rav Amram Goyen was that it was min Ha'av. Either way, that's who Eldar Umeidat was. I'll tell you something interesting. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing a cheresh, she'ina she'meya ve'ina medaber, who's treated in halacha as not being a bar das. So in that context over there, the Gemara says as follows, v'hani tre ilmi, there were two ilmim, an ilim is someone that can't talk, the havi bishiv avuseh the Rebbe, who lived in Rebbe's neighborhood. B'nei barteh Rabbi Yechem ben Gudgoda. They were the grandsons of Rabbi Yechem ben Gudgoda. Amrila b'nei achzeriyah. Kol Amos, have the Rebbe the Beit Midrash. Whenever Rebbe would come and give shir, have the Eilid v'yasvi come out. They couldn't talk. So they would sit by shir. Umenai de bereshayu. Yeah, they would chuckle their cup, whatever Rebbe said. Tremendous facial expressions. They gave great feedback. Umerach v'psif sasayu. They'd even move their lips sometimes. But no one knew what they were talking about. So Ubayu Rabbi, Rachmi Allah, Rebbe davened for them. V'itzu, and they had a refuah shalema. V'itshtakhu, and once they were able to talk, they realized, have gemiri hilchus of v'sifra v'sifri v'kulashas. They knew everything. They knew Kala Teira Kula. Said Mami Pano, the Megadim Chadashim brings this in Chagigadaf Gimel Amar Aleph. Said Mami Pano, you know these two ilmim were? These were not ordinary people. They knew Kala Teira Kula. Rebbe was blown away by them. They knew Kala Taira Kula. You know who they were? They were the Gilgal Neshama of Eldar Umeda. And Eldar Umeda, because they said Nevuah, an inappropriate Nevuah, they had to come back again on this world and to be Mesakin, their Chet, which was a saying of Nevuah that they weren't supposed to say. They came back as Ilmim, as people that weren't able to talk. But the reason they had such Hoichin Neshamas that they knew Kala Taira Kula was they're really a reincarnation. They're a reincarnation of Eldar Umeda who are from the Sanhedrin of the Dor Deya of Moshe Rabbeinu. Said the Chida, it's Merumas. Because Ilmi is Aleph Lamed Mem Yud. The first two letters of Eldar, Aleph Lamed. The first two letters of Medad are Mem Yud. Ilmi, Aleph Lamed Mem Yud is a remez to Eldar Umeda because that's who they were. They're the reincarnation of Eldar Umeda. And then he said something else. Yeshua Ben Nun said, Adoni Moshe Kiloem. This was a klal of Yeshua ben Nun. Ka'olem is oisiyos ki'ilem. That's why when they came back, they were niskalo. And you know what the klal was? Ki'ilem. They became like an ilem. It was the klal of Yeshua ben Nun. Adoni Moshe klo'em, kof, lamed, aleph, and the man. If you unscramble the letters, it's ki'ilem. That's why they came back. Like ilmim, the honey tray, ilmi. They're the reincarnation of Eldar Umeda. So that's who Eldar Umeda was. But there's one piece over that's very relevant in Yonah D'Yayimah. Both Tisha B'Av and Parshas Vaschana. And that is, Moshe Meis, the Yehoshua Machnas. The Mishnah Lamelech in Parshas Drachin, it's Drush Mini. It's a beautiful drasha. Very much related to Tisha B'Av, if you want to take a look. But the Mishnah Lamelech in Parshas Drachim quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe davened to Hashem, Ebron of the Era, beginning of Parshas Vaschanon, Vaschanon al Hashem be'isa hileimar, Ebron of Era, I want to be able to cross the Yarden, I want to be able to say Eretz Yisrael. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, you davened to me two tefillos, both using the word na. You said, Ebron of the Era, let me cross the yard and I want to see Eretz Yisrael. And you said, Slach no lavoyna omazek goydel chasdecha. You asked that the miraglim have kapora. Im yesh Ebron, if you want me to answer Ebron, I will, but ain't Slach no. I won't answer Slach no. Im yesh Slach no, if you want me to answer Slach no, ain't Ebron. I'm not going to answer Ebron. The Chassidim say over from the Rishon Rebbe that he used to say that there are 51 days when a person is supposed to be busy with tshuva and real spirituality from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Sukkot. So Chodesh Elul is 30 days. Sukkot ends Chaf Aleph Tishrei. So there's 51 days. So the Rishonim used to say, Im Yesh Ebrona, if a person says, I'll do what I have to do for Na, Gematria 51, Nun Aleph, for the 51 days, but Ebrona, I can't wait till it passes because I really don't want to deal with it. You know, it's a rough part of the year. You have to do what you have to do, but really Ebrona, I can't wait till it passes. Ain't Slachna. You're not going to get your slicho. But the Medrash says, Hashem tells Moshe, if you want me to answer Ebrona, I'll answer Ebrona, but not Slachna. If you want me to answer Slachna, I'll answer Slachna, but not Ebrona. Freak the Mishlo Melech, it's a Medrash Plia. Mayin Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What does Ebrona have to do with Slachna? They were two completely independent requests. You want to answer Ebrona, answer it. You want to answer Slachna, answer it. You don't want to, don't. But Hashem tells Moshe, you want to go with Teres Yisrael, you want me to answer Ebrona, that's fine. But I'm letting you know that the Dor HaMidbar, the Meraglim, they're not getting Kapara, ain't Slachna. And if you want the Dor HaMidbar to get Kapara, you want me to answer Slachna, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Says the Mishlo Melech, a Dover Neira. He says that the Gemara says that the Meraglim could get and actually will get Kapara Vasilav. And the reason the Meraglim are going to get Kapara Vasilav is because when Hashem swore that the Meraglim will not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, he was very careful with his Lashon. And this is a Lashon that we all say Friday night in Kabbalah Shabbos. Hashem Nishbati Ba'api Im Yuvay Namunuchasi. Right? Hashem. Right, so where does that come from? Hashem Nishbati Ba'api Im Yuvay Namunuchasi. We're talking about the Shvua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore in the Midbar, Asher Nishbati Ba'api, Im Yevoyen Amunuchasi. If the Dor HaMidbar is going to enter Eretz Yisrael, Dor HaMidbar is not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. Hashem swore they can't enter Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem was careful with his Lashon. He said, Minuchasi. And the Ritva says, Mesech Tizbach Metziya, that Minuchasi is Bidiktok, which would imply that this Minucha this menucha right here, they can't enter. But what will happen if Hashem destroys Eretz Yisrael, and now there's ki'ilu another Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and there'll be another Beis HaMikdash, and then a third Beis HaMikdash. The Shvu was never chal on the other Eretz Yisrael. It was never chal on the other Beis HaMikdash. So look, the Medrash and the Rishonim, Amechiach Halochas and Hilchas Nedarim and Shvuas from this Medrash, that Hashem was very careful. He said, Im Yevoyin El Menuchasi, which implies Menucha Zu Einam Ban, Ava Ban Hem Le Menucha Acheres. That means the Meraglim are going to come by the binyan bias ashlishi b'meir b'yameinu. There will be the Dor HaMidbar. The Dor HaMidbar is going to come, and the reason Dor HaMidbar is going to be able to be there, Hagam Hashem swore they can't come. It's because Hashem swore menucha zu einam ban. But the Beis HaMikdash was been charved. It was charved twice. So by the third Beis HaMikdash, the shvu already wasn't chal. There's no reason they won't be able to come. Zok to Mishul Malach. We know that had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash could have never been charved. Which means that had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, it would have always been Menucha Zu, which would mean there'd be no way for the Meraglim and the Dor HaMidbar to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why could the Dor HaMidbar enter Eretz Yisrael? Hashem swore they can't enter Eretz Yisrael. The Teretz is, Hashem said you can't go into the first Beis HaMikdash. But we're up to number three already. So at this point, what's the... But had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built a Beis HaMikdash. There never would have been a second Beis HaMikdash and a third Beis HaMikdash. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis HaMikdash would have never been Charev. So being that Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis HaMikdash would have never been Charev, there would have been no way for the Meraglim and the Dor HaMidbar to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. If you want, I'll Ebrono, you can go into Eretz Yisrael. That's fine, I'll let you in. But realize that if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you build the Beis HaMikdash, I have no out on my Shvua that I made to the Dor HaMidbar. So in Slachno, I can't forgive them. I can't forgive them. There's no way for me to make it as if they didn't do the Avera and allow them to come, Lasalavai, because I made a Shvua. But if you don't go into Eretz Yisrael, in Ein Ebrona, then Yitzlachna. Then there's an Eitzah. Because then there'll be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, and there'll be another Churban Beis HaMikdash, and by the Bayis HaShlishi, I already never swore. So for the Bayis HaShlishi, there'll be no issues. That Beis HaMikdash, they'll be able to come. That's the connection between Ebrona and between Slachna. Says the Mishul HaMelech, and he goes through Medrash after Medrash, B'tuv Tam, B'goynes V'charifos, based on this idea. But one beautiful thing he says is that we all know that when the Meraglim came back with the report and they told the Yidden what Eretz Yisrael is, guys, we think we're going to an Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash. It's nothing of that sort. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be tzaris. It's going to be really, really bad. And what did the Yidden do? Vayifku kolam balaylahu. And what was the laylahu? What was that night? What was that night? It was the night of Tisha B'Av. It was the night of Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Yidden get the report from the Meraglim on the night of Tisha B'Av, and it's on that night that they cry. Says the Mishul HaMelech, what's pshat? Why was it that the night that the Yidden cried about the Meraglim, that somehow became the night? It was right then that the seeds were planted for Churban Beis HaMikdash. Zok to Mishul HaMelech, half of a fellow. Because being that it was that night that Hashem swore that they weren't going to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, the only way for Hashem to be slach no lavoino amazek goydel chasdecho would be by saying it's menucha zuin and bon. But I will buy him the menucha acheres, which means Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be a churban based on mikdash. Now they're going to be able to go in. Now they're going to be. That became bachay sifke balayla. That's why it's because of the meraglim that there's churban based on mikdash. It's because of the meraglim that there's golus. It's because of the meraglim that we haven't been Eretz Yisrael in over 2,000. It's all because of the meraglim. Because we're not for the meraglim that Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael. Ebron of the era, Hashem accepts his tefillah, he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yidden never have to be anywhere else. But I always had an interesting ha'ara. That is that Hashem gives Moshe the choice. He tells him, if you want Ebrono Ve'era, I'll let you go into Eretz Yisrael. Or if you want Slachna Lavoina Amazak Gadol Chasecha. And clearly, which one did Moshe Rabbeinu choose? He chose Slachna. Because we know the Meraglim have Kapara Lassalavoi, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And at first glance, you would say, wow, this is what a true leader is supposed to do. He's willing to forsake his own personal request of Ebron of Era on behalf of his people. The Dor HaMidbar was Moshe Rabbeinu's people. And Moshe Rabbeinu is walking away from something that he personally wanted so badly. He was mispalot tefillos, kevim v'eschanon, on behalf of his nation. But Lefi Hanal, it was a very controversial call that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Because if you think about it, had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, which means that the Beis Hamikdash could have never been destroyed, which means the Yidden wouldn't have gone into Golus, there wouldn't have been a Churban Beis Hamikdash. So forget, let's take Moshe out of the equation. Let's look at it from the leader's perspective. On the one hand, there's a Dor Midbar that sinned. Hashem swore that they're not going to have Kapara. I can get them Kapara. On the other hand, I can go into Eretz Yisrael, build a Beis Hamikdash, and we're going to go right to Yemei Samashiach. We'll have utopia. We're not going to have to deal with a Churban and another Churban and a Holocaust and a Spanish Inquisition. We're not going to have to deal with any of those things. And Moshe Rabbeinu chose Slachna over Ebrona. Mechitesi. To me, it sounds like a very, very gutsy call. So I once asked this Rav Shmuel Yankov. And he told me that pshat is because Eldaru Meidad Misnavim B'machin. We just learned the Gemara. Moshe Meis for Yeshua Machnes. We know the Rambam says that once a Navi says a Navua L'toiva, he says a good Navua, Hashem never backtracks from it. A Navua, maybe. But a Navua Toiva never backtracks. Once Eldaru Meidad said Navua that Yeshua Machnes, at that point, it was already too late, this Cheshvan. Even had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, even had Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah of Aschanin of Hashem be'isa hilemor, Yeshua would have been the machnes. Yeshua would have been the leader. Moshe would have gone as an elder statesman, but he wouldn't have gone as the manik. The manik at that point was already going to be Yeshua Benun, which means Yeshua would have built the Beis Hamikdash, which means the Beis Hamikdash could have been Chareb. So that Cheshbin of Moshe Rabbeinu going into Eretz Yisrael as the leader, building the Beis Hamikdash, and you have nothing to worry about, that was already off the table. Why? Because of our Gemara. Because Eldar Umeidot Misnavim B'machna, Moshe Meis V'Yeshua Machnes. Either way, so you see from here that if you have a Nevuah that's Toiva and Ra, then maybe it's considered a Nevuah Toiva. That's a whole different discussion. Either way, that's the second Ara. Third Ha'ara is that, so what does Yeshua Ben Nun say? Yeshua says, Adoni Moshe Kloim. So what does Kloim mean? So the Gemara says, Hotel Aleim Tzarchei Tzibur, they ain't calling me Aleim. You know what it means? Give them Tzarchei Tzibur, and you have nothing to worry about. So take a look at the top Taisus. We do all the short Taisus. Pirish, Nevuasam Kala, the Ein Shechina Shaira Miteich Atzvos, Ele Miteich Sanfi. You know what he told them? Give them Tzarchei Tzibur. If they have Tzarchei Tzibur, they're going to get ungesetzt. They're going to be depressed because Tzarchei Tzibur is depressing. So bing, they're going to get ungesetzt. They're going to lose their nevuah. She'ein shechina shoira mitoich atzvos ele mitoich simcha. Yeshua Ben Nun never told Moshe to kill them. What do you have to kill them for? There's no reason to kill them. What he was disturbed by was the nevuah. He didn't want them to walk around town telling everybody, Moshe meis, Yeshua machnes la'aretz. So he said, I have an easy way out. You know what my way out is? Is give them Tzarchei Tzibur, make them do some community service, make them get involved with the tzibur. They're not going to enjoy it. It's going to take away from their simcha. And if they're not besimcha, there's no way for the shechina to be shayr on them. Because in order for the shechina to be shayr, you have to be besimcha. The hanavuah kolam eileim, the nevuah is going to go away by itself. What comes to mind is the Gemara Masechtas Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. You know, the Gemara says that sometimes, if you look in Sefer Tehillim, so there's many kapitach Tehillim that begin Mizmar L'Dovin. And they're kapitach Tehillim that say L'Dovin Mizmar. So Mizmar is a song, a nigga. Mizmar with David Mizmar. Says the Gemara, you know what it depends on? If David HaMelech was in a happy place, he was in a place where the Shechina could be Shaira on him, Mitoich Simcha, then it was L'David Mizmar. But sometimes David HaMelech wasn't naturally in that place. And he couldn't tap into the Ruach HaKodesh and to the Nevuah that he needed in order for him to write his psalms. So it was Mizmar with David. Moshe Rabbeinu had to take, David had to take out his harp. David HaMelech had to play music to put him in a place of simcha so that he should be able to be Shaira. The Gemara there quotes that it says by Elisha, Va'ata kechuli menagein. Take a menagin, v'hoye kenagin ha-menagin, v'atihi olav yad Hashem. He needed the menagin. He had someone that used to play music for him. What was the purpose of it? V'hoye kenagin ha-menagin, v'atihi olav yad Hashem. Because it was dafka when the music was being played, it was then. But I think one thing you certainly see from here is that a person has an obligation to be a simcha. Because there are levels of spirituality, Hashreis Hashchina, that are impossible to achieve unless a person is besimcha. If a person is not behappy, right, mitzvah gedoy uli is besimcha, but it's obvious, because you see, a person can't achieve certain levels unless a person is besimcha. But I'm going to tell you something very interesting. And that is, if you look around, there's a lot of Maor Mekoymes that a person can't fully learn Torah and understand the Torah that he's learning unless he's besimcha. HaMelech said, Nachalti Eidei Sechel La'olam, Kisasayin Li Behema. That unless a person has a gishmak in learning, and he's besimcha while he's learning, it impacts his ability to understand learning. One of the memches dvarim shatayr niknas behem is simcha. Right? There's 48 things. That's a long list. A lot of things there. But one of the memches dvarim shatayr niknas behem is simcha. B'chaim v'lozhin and ruach chayim, on that mishnah, the very end of Pirkei Avos, on that mishnah says, ki aloy meid b'simcha b'shah achas, I quote, if somebody learns b'simcha in 1 hour, he can learn yoyser harbe mimashe yilmoy b'kameshoyz ba'atzvas. The bottom line is that when a person is besimcha, he's able to learn a lot more than he'd be able to learn if he was ba'atzvas. There's a beautiful Arachayim HaKadosh in next week's parsha, Parsha's Ekev. This is tremendous. So Parsha's Ekev begins, V'hoya Ekev Tishmon Es Advar Mo'ela. V'hoya Ekev Tishmon, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. We know that wherever it says Vayihi, it's a Lashon Tzar. Vayihi B'meach HaShverosh, it's always a Lashon Tzar. Whenever it says V'hoya, it's always a lashon simcha. Taitzes darachayim v'hoya ekev tishmon esam mishpatim ha'ela. The ekev tishmon esam mishpatim. Before a person sits down to learn v'hoya, yes, maybe simcha. Because if you're not besimcha while you're learning, it's going to impact your ability to learn. And this is what he says at the end. Ki divrei Torah asurim la'avol. And he says, by the way, you find that an avol is not allowed to learn Torah. What does he mean? It sounds like what he's trying to say is that the reason an avol is not allowed to learn Torah is because the Torah requires a prerequisite. The prerequisite is v'hoya. Ein v'hoya el lashon simcha. An avol is not besimcha. So being that an avol is not besimcha, mainly you can't learn. Pashut, you learn because the Torah is going to make him besimcha. So if the Torah is going to make him besimcha, an avol is not allowed to be besimcha. Like Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn. Why? Because Torah is pekudei Hashem yishar mesam chilev. It's going to make you happy. Mimele, it's more than that. Simcha is a prerequisite, and the avil is not allowed to check off that box. He can't be v'hoya. He can't have simcha. Oh, if he can't have simcha, then how's he supposed to learn Torah? It's for that reason that an avil is not allowed to learn Torah. But now I'm going to tell you something that'll blow your mind. The Maril, in Likutei Maril brings, Omar, Shemi'idim al Rabbeinu Tam. I'm quoting. They say that people testify, they said Eidus about Rabbeinu Tam. When he was learning a very shveris sugya, he was teeth in a very, very difficult, he was pasking a big tshuva, an aguna, something really, really difficult. He would take money out of his safe, he would put it on his table, then it would make him feel happy, he saw the money that he had, and it gave him the energy and the strength for him to be able to learn. Shall I read it again? This is the Maril, Omar, Shemeidim al Rabbeinu Tam. Kshayuroitzel lilmoy tamsis mehalocha chamura, hoyunoysein lefon of tail shel zehuvim, venesrache vliboy, velomad bekoich. Tzadik HaKohen brings it in Tzidkas HaTzadik. He talks about how you see from here that a person has to be besimcha when he learns Torah. And even the great Rabbeinu Tam felt that there were certain madrigas in Torah, difficult sugyas that he could only comprehend if he was besimcha, and he took something what at first glance would be pretty superficial. Ayisal al Asher ba'Ashroi. He would take out a tel shel zehuvim, he would put his money, bank statements on the table, and he would go and he would teef into the sugya, and that was his way of being able to comprehend. Right? David HaMelech played music. Elisha ba'Hoya kenagin amenagin. Somebody was playing the violin, and Vati Yolav Yad Hashem. The Rabbeinu Tam did the same thing. Either way, this is an idea that in order for a person to fully be able to learn, he has to be besimcha. We had here today, so in order for a person to be zeichet to nevuah, he has to be besimcha. But it could be the two are really related to each other. Based on the Chassam Sofer that we always say, that Soyd Hashem Lireyav Mishah Paskin nevuah nitlo lechachamim. What does it mean that nevuah was given to the chachamim? Because you find Talmid chachamim, they have tirdas, they're busy with things, and somehow in a shamuetes the zoicha to learn a tremendous amount of Torah. And he says it's nevuah. It's Soyd Hashem Lireyav. That means if Talmid chachamim's Torah is predicated on Soyd Hashem Lireyav, and ain't shchina shayre Allah mitoich simcha. So it's really one and the same. In order for a person to be able to fully shteig in his learning, he has to be besimcha. You know why? Because in order for a person to really shteig in his learning, he has to come on to Soyd Hashem Lireyav. That's the nitla nevuah min anaviim v'nitna l'chacham. It's not possible otherwise. If it's not possible otherwise, you have to come on to Soyd Hashem Lireyav. How are you going to get Soyd Hashem Lireyav? There's only one way to get Soyd Hashem Lireyav, and that is by being besimcha. Thus, the idea of a hoya ekev Asher Tishmon is Amishpatim Ha'ela, and this idea of Ein Shechina Shoira Ela Mitoich Simcha, like Yeshua Benun said, Adoni Moshe Kloyim, just hatal aleim tzorchei tzibur ben kolam aleim. It could be it's all one on the same. Either way, zok the Gemara. So now we return to the Sanhedrin Ketano. So we have it. Sanhedrin Agadol was either 70 or 71, and the Sanhedrin Ketano was made up of 23. What was the cheshbon of 23? The cheshbon was, it says, v'shoftu ha'eda, v'hitzilu ha'eda. V'shoftu ha'eda is 10. V'hitzilu ha'eda is another 10. Harei kan esrin, and how do you know the other three? Because it says that achri rabim lahatos. But l'toiv, achri rabim lahatos is even 1. Hatos is only 2. So you need at least 2 more than the 20. Again, you need 10 people saying guilty, 10 people saying zakai. You don't need that for sure, but you need the possibility for that to be the case. So the for sure has to be a minimum of 20. In order to go achirabim lerois, you would need 2. Because hatios chalura is alpishnayim, said the Mishnah. It can't be an even number. That's how you end up with 23. Zok to Gemara. Soif soif lura al pishnayim lemishkachasos. And Gemara asks a technical question. That the Mishnah said that hatioscha l'toivo, when you go based on roiv, l'toiv, 1 more. Hatioscha lura has to be 2 more. If the bezden shal chav gimel is made up of chav gimel, how are you ever going to go baser roiv by 2 more? It's either going to be 3 more, or it's going to be 1 more, but it's never going to be 2 more. How so? If 12 people say chayv and 11 say zakai, akati chadu, it's only 1 more. Any asorim mezakim shloish asam chayv and tlasa hava. Just mathematically, it's not possible. So either it's going to be 13 and 10, or it's going to be 12 and 11. If it's 13 and 10, it's 3 more. If it's 12 and 11, it's 1 more. So where is it even a geya that you go baser roiv l'ra al pishnayim? Amar abavo, yeah, the moitze, it's only possible. Bimoy sifin. If you had to add, and that could work according to everybody, or it's possible by the Sanhedrin Agadol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said 70. So let's work backwards. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin Agadol was made up of an even number, 70. So what would be if the Sanhedrin Agadol was presiding over Dinei Nefashos? Let's say that dealing with the Kohen Gadol. Right? The Kohen Gadol's Dinei Nefashos had to be Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. So if 36 say guilty and 34 say innocent, so you're going based on roiv l'ra al pishnayim, you have 2 more saying guilty than saying innocent. So that's easy. You want to know where it's possible? Achirabim l'rois al pishnayim. The Sanhedrin Agadol, according to the Chachamim, it's an even number. It's vayter, not going to work. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could work. Additionally, it's possible b'maisifin v'divrei akol. And Rashi says that this halacha maisifin is really based on a Mishnah lekamon daf mem amud aleph. The halacha over there is discussing where one of the dayanim said any idea. Someone said, I don't know. So you had a bezem shachav gimel. It's dine nefashis. 11 say guilty. 11 say innocent. 1 person. So what's the halacha maisifin oich naim? You add another 2. So what happens if the 2 that you add both say guilty? So now you're going to have 2 more guilties over innocence. So that's what's going to be negeya achre roos b'shtayim. V'omer Rabbi Vo said on that note b'maisifin oisim bezem shakol lekatchil that whenever you have to add dayanim, it's you're allowed to lekatchila add in a way where the bezdin is going to be made up of an even number. What the Gemara refers to as a bezdin hashakol. Freik the Gemara pshita. What was Rabbi Vo being mechadish? Meaning we know the halacha is if 11 say guilty, 11 say innocent, 1 person says any idea. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to add another 2. It's a mishnah. Now, if 11 and 11 is 22, the any idea seems to be out of the picture. So you have an even number. You're adding 2, you're going to still have an even number. So obviously, l'katchila, what you're doing is you're making a bezdin shakol. So Rabbi Vo and Amir gets up in Beis Medrash one day and he says, "B'maisifin oisim bezdin shakol l'katchila." Of course, obviously, Rabbi Vo, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have 22, you're adding 2. So naturally, l'katchila, you're making a bezdin shakol. Says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Vo is saying alumnus. Because ma'u detema, I might have thought, "Hayda kama any day command the isadam." You're assuming the person that says any day is out of the picture. Maybe he's in the picture. L'may nafkimina v'im Omar Milso. Let's say later he comes back and he says, "You know something? I think I want to take a position. I want to say chayiv. I want to say zakeh. Shamin alei kamash malon." That was Rabbi Vo's chiddush. The hayda kamer any idea command the lesser dami. That the person that says any idea is out of the picture. The omer time alei shamin alei. If later he comes back and he says something, we're not going to listen to him. That was Rabbi Vo's point. Rabbi Vo was saying, of course you know the Mishnah. You know the Mishnah. One person says any idea, so you add 2. But it doesn't mean that you're making it a Bezdin Shakal. Because you're only viewing this as a Bezdin Shakal if you assume the person that said Eni Yedei is not part of the Sanhedrin. But maybe the person that said Eni Yedei is part of the Sanhedrin. I said Eni Yedei. Yeah, but what if later he changes his mind? Meaning, do you look at this Bezdin now as being a Bezdin of 24 when you add it to? Or are you looking at it as a Bezdin of 25? If we take on the opinion of the Eni Yedei later, that means it's a Bezdin of 25. If we wouldn't listen to him later, it means it's a Bezdin of 24. That was Rabbi Avos Chiddush. Oisin Bezdin Shakol Lekatchila. What he was trying to say was is that we look at it as a Bezdin of 24, not as a Bezdin of 25. Again, Lamayin Afkamina, if the person who originally said Eni Yedei later wants to take a position, he's too late. Amar Afkahano, Sanhedrin Shiro Kudon Lechaiva. This is a well-known Allah. If the entire Sanhedrin heard a case, and they all said guilty. So there's a case, capital punishment, murder that's brought in front of the Sanhedrin, and all 23 Dayanim say guilty, 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 guilty. Unanimously, they vote guilty. The halach is patronizing. This guy was off the hook. He was potter. My time, kiven the gemiri havon asdin. Because being that the halach is that after Bezdin would come up with a guilty verdict, they would sleep on it. They would sleep on it. You weren't allowed to issue the guilty verdict right away. Because maybe Balaila, who another does Shnas HaMelech, maybe somebody in his sleep is going to suddenly see it a little bit differently. Sleep on it first, and then we'll revisit it. Good advice. Halonastit. That's what Bezdin used to do. So you see, there's an idea that even when you see it guilty, you have to try to maybe find a tzad schos. Vahani, these people, Sulei Chazulei. They can't ever see a tzad schos. And there's a deep psychology over here. The psychology is that ordinarily, if Bezdin would be, let's say, 13 would say guilty and 10 would say zakai, there'd be a fight in the jury room. They'd be going back and forth and back. Guilty, I say zakai, prove your point, you prove my point. The shaklev attire would force them to be able to see all the possibilities. And that's what would assure us that if there was any reason to assume that this person was innocent, everyone heard what they had to say. Achri Rabbi Mahatis, we could be comfortable that this person is really guilty. But if there's nobody standing and saying Zaka, if that person is not there, then we're concerned that maybe we're overlooking something. Because maybe if there was somebody saying Zaka, if there was somebody challenging you, you would be forced to see it a little bit differently. So that when you sing to the choir, it's good, right? It's very convenient. It's comfortable. Nobody challenges you. But very often, you think something. Everybody just shakes their head. Yes, dear, I agree. And you never really come to the truth. The truth comes about through opposing positions, different people seeing things differently. They work it out, they fight it out, and then they come to a verdict. That's what a verdict is supposed to be. But being that there was nobody saying Zakai, incidentally, this is the source, Lahavdol, to the devil's advocate, right? That's what that was all about. But either way, so in order for somebody to be a member of the Sanhedrin, he obviously had to be a Talmud Chacham. But in addition to that, he had to have certain physical characteristics. He had to be tall, Ubali Chachmi, had to be wise. Ubali Mara, had to be handsome. Good Tzura. Ubali Zikna, he had to be old. Ubali Kshafen, he also had to know Kishef. The Yoidim Ba'ayin Lashon, and he had to know all 70 languages. Why do you have to know all 70 languages? So that if somebody comes from some distant country and he's saying Eidos, the Bezdin should be able to be Mekabel the Eidos. So in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to know all 70 languages. So a lot of things here that you had to put on your resume in order to qualify to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So Bali Koyme, Bali Chachma, Bali Mari, Bali Zikna, Rashi says very simple, because you had to be an imposing person, somebody that people could respect. Otherwise, people can't respect you. Why do you have to be Bali Kshafim? It's a very shver Rashi. Rashi says because sometimes they had to deal with Kishef Machis, and they would have to know how to deal with them. Let's say somebody knew Kishef and he's trying to avoid Bezdin, so they would counter them. So share Rashi here. Take a look at the second to last Rashi on the Amid. And then finally, they had to know the 70 languages. That's practical, because sometimes you have to be Mekabaledos. So maybe hire someone, have an interpreter, then it's already Ishmi Piyish, you're running into Halachic issues. In order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to be someone that was so smart that you can come up with a way to say that the Shmoyne Shrotzen, that Atame, are really tar. That's what a Balkishrin you had to be. Oh, my Rav. So Rav said, any other Vatareno, I could do it. I'll give you a cheshvin. Uman nachash amemus umarbetumatar, madach the nachash, the snake, which is a mamus. It kills. Which means that it's marbetumo, because when somebody dies, it becomes tome tumas mes. Tahar, it itself is tahar. Sheretz, she'ena mamus, a sheretz that can't kill. Umarbe tumma, so that it cannot be marbe tumma. Eino din sheyeh tar. It shouldn't certainly should be tar. But the Gemara says, "Vallahi imidi dehavi akutz ba'alma." No, it's not a raya. What about a thorn? A thorn, a sword. It also kills, but it itself is not tumma. So the fact that you kill and you're marbe tumma is in and of itself not necessarily a reason that you should be tumma yourself. The Marsha says, "What's pshat in this?" Ein moishivim b'sanhedrin elamisha yodeya l'tayres asheretz. Why? So Marsha says, unbelievable. Because in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you have to be able to see a story where this person seems so guilty and try to come up with a way to find his innocence. You have to be able to be metayer the sheretz is tamei. There's no way out. Read the psuk of Parashat Shmini. You can't avoid the fact that the sheretz is tamei. But if you're someone that could be metayer the sheretz, then maybe you're that person who at first glance will see someone and say, this person is for sure guilty. He definitely deserves to be hung. He deserves to be killed. But maybe you'll be able to be mehapach b'schus. The Sanhedrin had to be able to be mehapach b'schus. If you could be metayer the sheretz, you could be mehapach b'schus and maybe find innocence in a guilty man. Any city that doesn't have two people that know how to speak the 70 languages, the echad l'shmaya, and one person that knows how to understand the 70 languages, emay shivim b'Sanhedrin. And we seem to be talking about not the Sanhedrin Agadol now, because the Sanhedrin Agadol, everybody had to know the 70 languages. But we're talking about a bezel shachav gimel. So even a bezel shachav gimel needed people that knew all the languages. Ube Beitar says, the Gemara have the Shloisha, there were three people that knew how to speak the 70 languages. Ube Yavna, the local court, the Sanhedrin HaKotan in Yavna, had Arba, had four people that knew how to speak the 70 languages. Who were they? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, the Shimon HaTeimoni, who was done with Nehem Bekark. Beisvei, Frank the Gemara, is that true? An ear that, in order for it to qualify, to have a Sanhedrin Shachav Gimel, has to have two people that speak 70 languages, meaning not more. A braisa shlishis chachkoma, a city that has a bezdin, where there are three members of the bezdin that speak 70 languages, chachoma. Rashi says, kshera, it's a kosher bezdin. Rivias, if they have four, ein lamai lehemenu. That's like the best bezdin you could possibly have. But the point is you see, you need three. Three is the minimum, not two. Says the Gemara, Rav, hu da amar ki aitano. The Tanya related to the Braisa, shnia chachoma. Two is the bare minimum. Shlishis, it's three, where ein lamai lehemenu. Three would be the perfect number. So it's not three that you need as a minimum, but rather it's two that you need as a minimum, says the Gemara. So we just mentioned over here that Shimon HaTeimoni was done with Nehem Bekarka, like an expression almost. He was done with Nehem Bekarka. So the Gemara now is going to go off on a slight tangent, take us to the end of today's daf, where we find different expressions or different adjectives were used to describe different tannaim. Lemeidim lefnei chachamim. Wherever you find this nusach, lemeidim lefnei chachamim, it's Levi mirebi. It's Rebbe who's teaching Levi. Levi was a Talmud of Rebbe. So lemeidim lefnei chachamim. If you ever find that expression in Shas and you want to put names to the faces, you want to know who's who? It's Levi learning from Rebbe. Donim lefnei chachamim. It's Shimon ben Azai. The Shimon ben Zoyma. He said that whenever you find Donum Lefnei Chachamim, there was a fifth person that was there. Shimon, as in Shimon ben Azai. Shimon, as in Shimon ben Zayma. He added a third Shimon. That's Shimon HaTeimoni, Chanon HaMitzri, and Chananya ben Chachino. Rabbi Seinu Shebebavel, wherever you find Rabbi Seinu Shebebavel, it's Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Seinu Sheberetz Yisrael is Rav Abba. Dayone Goylo is Karno. Dayone de Eretz Yisrael is Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Dayone de Pumpadisa is Rav Papa bar Shmuel. Dayone de Nahardo is Rav Ada bar Menyumi. Sabi de Sura is Rav Huna v'Rav Chizdo. Sabi de Pumpadisa is Rav Yehuda v'Rav Eino. Charifi de Pumpadisa is Eifo v'Avimi, the sons B'nei Rechavo. Amoiroi de Pumpadisa is Rabbi Rav Yosef. Amiroi de Nardoi is Rav Choma. Narbeloi Masnu, wherever you find that, it's Rami Brabat. Rami Bar Berebi. Omri Beirav is Rav Huna. Fake the Gemara. How could Omri Beirav Rav Huna? V'Omer Rav Huna, Omri Beirav. Rav Huna once said Omri Beirav. Elo Rav Amnuna. Amri Bemarova is Rabbi Yirmiya. Sholchu Mitam, whenever you find that, you find many places in Shas. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, he's the one that sent it. Mechakwa Lo Bemarova, they were laughing at this halach in Marova. Who's that? Rabbi Lozar. Fake the Gemara of Sholchu Mitam with Divi Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. How could you tell Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Sholchu Mitam? But you find the Gemara where it says Sholchu Mitam with Divi Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Says the Gemara Ella Epoch Sholchu Mitam Rabbi Lozar Mechaku Alab Marava Rabbi Yisrael Rab
Chanina. We'll just conclude with one Aura. So we just mentioned the Gemara. That the Gemara says that in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to know all 70 languages. The Rambam brings it. The Rambam is in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Kishem Shebezdin Menuki Bitzedek. Just like Bezdin, they had to be spiritually perfect. Kach Tzrichen Liyo is Menuki Mikomu Meyagof. They also had to be physically. Vitzorech Lehishtadel Velivdoik Ulechapesh Hiu Kulam Bali Sevo, Bali Koimo, Bali Mara, Nevoini Lachash. And the Rambam, by the way, it sounds like it's not Ma'akev, maybe. Tzorech Lehishtadel, you have to find. What if you can't find 70 people that meet this very specific criteria? So you're not going to have a Sanhedrin. But you have to try. You have to be machapes, you have to be boydek, you have to do as good a job as possible. And then the Rambam says, additionally, you need to try to find people, shiyu yoidim b'roiv alashoynis, people that speak a majority of the languages, kidesh leitiyah sanhedrin sheimas mipiyam haturgim, so that you shouldn't have to hear mipiyam haturgim. So the Rambam says that the Sanhedrin didn't have to speak all 70 languages, but roiv alashoynis, they had to be able to speak the majority of the 70 languages. It sounds like a big chiddush, right? I always thought the Sanhedrin had to speak all 70 languages. The Rambam says not all 70 languages, but most of the 70 languages. So I'll just conclude with one Ara, that the Mishnah in Mesechtes Shkolim, it's in Mesechtes Shkolim, Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, with the Gemara, had it before, here it is. The Mesechtes Shkolim, Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, with the Gemara over there discusses different people that had different positions in the Beis HaMikdash. Elo hein ha-mamunim shahayu b'mikdash. Yoichin ben Pinchas ala chisamois. Achia ala nesochim. Masya ben Shmuel ala paisos. Psachia ala kinim. He was in charge of the kinim. Kinim were the birds that were brought as korbanos that women typically would bring. A yoledes would bring kinim, or a zava would bring kinim. So who was the person that was in charge of dealing with the kinim? It was Psachia. Says the Mishnah. Rest of the story. Psachia is a Mordechai. Psachia was Mordechai at Tzadik. V'lom enikrishma Psachia. Why was Mordechai called Psachia? Shoya peseach dvarim v'dorshan v'yodeya v'shivim lashon. Because he knew how to be peseach. He knew how to open up a conversation with anybody. Because he was able to speak all 70 languages. So being that he knew how to speak all 70 languages, that's why he got the name Psachia. And he got the job of being in charge of the kinim, because who brought the kinim? Women. Women who didn't know how to speak Lashon Kodesh, they knew how to speak their mamalushin from the shtetl, wherever in the world they came from. They came to be a luregel, they had to bring karbonas, so they would bring their karbonas. So they needed someone who understood all 70 languages. So who understood all 70 languages? It was Psachia. He was the one that understood it. He spoke all. Who was it? It's Mordechai. By the way, Mordechai is referred to in the beginning of Sefer Ezra as Mordechai Bilshon. Bilshon, Miloshon, Loshon. Mordechai spoke all 70 languages. Now, every little child knows that Mordechai at Tzadik spoke all 70 languages. He knows it from the story of Bixam the Seresh. But the emes is that it wasn't just Mordechai that knew all 70 languages, just learned the Gemara. The Gemara says that all the members of the Sanhedrin had to understand all 70 languages. So, Shtelzach the Shaila, that what's the big deal? Mordechai at Tzadik, he knew all 70 languages. That's why he goes down as Psachia. He's Memun Alakinim. He knows how to deal with the people, these foreigners that are coming and bringing karbonas, women that are, they don't know how to speak Lashon Kodesh. They need someone who could deal with it. Technically, any member of the Sanhedrin should have been able to do that. What's the big deal that it's Mordechai at Tzadik? You know who asks this kasha? The Gemara. It's a Gemara in Mesechtes Menachis, Daf Samechei Amin Aleph. Abafreik Dechido. I don't understand the Gemara's kasha. Because the Rambam just said, he edited the Gemara, that the Sanhedrin didn't have to know all 70 languages. They had to know Reiv Alashoyvis. They had to know the majority of it. That means you didn't have to know all 70 languages to be a member of the Sanhedrin. You just had to know the majority. If you knew 36, you're already in business. That's enough in order for you to be a member. So maybe that was the godless of Mordechai. Mordechai didn't just know the majority. Mordechai know all of them. And that's why he's Psachia, and that's why he was Ramon Alakinim. Azoy Freik Techidah, and we will end with